Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning will be taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15 will serve as our text this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15, and we're going to be focusing on these words. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see. We'll begin in verse 7 so we can get the context of this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So this morning, we shall return to the town from which we left last Sunday, called Christmas. That town which is also called the town of four inns, so known because the inn of the world, the inn of the flesh, the inn of the devil, and the inn of your heart are there. A few more details about this particular town are in order. First, the rightful owner of the town of Christmas is going about his usual business this morning of scattering seed on the ground. It's quite a curious thing which he does. The seed sprouts and grows, even when it is sown in the most unlikely places. Now we know and we affirm that he's the rightful owner of the town, but you see, everyone in the town of Christmas seems to think that they own the town, that they own the particular acreage which has been given to them as stewards. Nevertheless, everyone is coming to Christmas this year just as they always have. Now, Jesus is already there, and some are coming to Christmas to worship him. Some are curious about him, so they're just coming to see who this Jesus is. Others wish to harm him, wish to drive another nail into his hands if they could. And finally, still others simply ignore the fact that he's there. They come to Christmas, but they call it holidays. They've changed the name of the town, which by right can't be done, for the sovereign of the town, in his constitution, has called it Christmas. So let us take our place by the entrance gate to see who is coming to Christmas. Angels are coming. There is an angel. An angel of light. And as we behold them, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The holy angels desire to see the plan of God for over 4,000 years, since the day of their creation. So now they don't miss an opportunity to worship and praise Jesus the King. Jesus came into the world to save the world, becoming the Lamb of God. And so the angels can't help but sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I hope this song is a song of your heart as you approach Christmas. Shepherds are coming. These are ordinary folks, not lettered in the things of the law, but they have a message to bring this Christmas. You see, they have heard and they have believed the simple gospel of Jesus Christ as preached by angels. The shepherds have met Christ, and now they've become evangelists seeking to make him widely known. When we truly discover in the depths of our hearts who this Jesus is, these truths bubble over, and we can't help but tell others. The unbeliever has a very difficult time understanding this, understanding why it is that we meet here week after week, and in places we go, we talk about these wonderful things. But the angels understand, and the shepherds understand. Now, as the shepherds drew near the gate to the town called Christmas, there are some hecklers along the road. There are always hecklers, right? There are hecklers at every sporting event. And even more so, there are hecklers at the gates of Christmas. Now, this bystander who was heckling the shepherds was a very educated man. There's a whole group of these men and women. It seems there are many who think themselves too smart, much smarter, in fact, than the shepherds. Or they're so self-sufficient that they don't even think they need to enter the town of Christmas. This worldly wise man, this one heckler in particular, he has an eye disease. He cannot see without his prescription eyeglasses. Notwithstanding the fact that he refused to wear them, he calls out to the nearest shepherd, having heard that the shepherds were coming by. And he heckles him, saying that Jesus, whom they go to see, is just an ordinary man, just a prophet, a sinner. Now, this shepherd, not even possessing a high school diploma, responded this way: "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And so, he and his co-workers, the other shepherds in the field, march on by the worldly wise men. Wise men, with regard to spiritual things, are coming. Now their journey has been long in the making, but they had heard the prophecy of old that a star, that a scepter shall arise out of Judah. It's funny, this prophecy was spoken by a Gentile whose name was Balaam, about 1500 years before the birth of Christ, who had no idea what he was saying. But God used him anyway. See, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound those who think that they're wise. Kind of makes the wise men think that it wouldn't be such a far-fetched thing that God would come as a baby, when the world would expect that the only way he would come would be as a king, with lightning bolts and thunderings. Oh, he's going to come that way. He's coming again. You can mark it down. The book says it. The book said he was going to come this way, humble as a servant first. But he's coming again. And he won't be playing so nice in the cradle, as it were, if I could use the expression. Now the wise men have seen a star in the east and they've come to worship him. These wise men received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They didn't necessarily take the word of a third party for it. But they said, well, what do the scriptures say? We've heard the prophecy of Balaam. Do the Hebrew scriptures say anything else about it? Has the God of Israel, the one living God, said anything else? Why, yes, he has. He's spoken of the place of the birth of the Messiah. This they ascertained from the priests when they came to Herod's courts. They also knew that the timing was right. You see, there was a prophet in Israel in the days of the captivity named Daniel, who had written several hundred years before that the Messiah would be cut off, put to death, 77s, that is 490 years down the road. Why do you think Simeon and Anna were waiting in the temple for the consolation of Israel? Now, though perhaps these wise men were slower than the shepherds to arrive at the truth about this Jesus, they came to it at last. See, there's nothing wrong with investigating the Word of God and Christianity in general. Behind the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, there's a man walking by himself. He's got a few people following him. Man's name's Demas. You might know him. Demas was once a professor of Christ, but having loved this world, this present world, he is a different man now. Demas was once found quite regularly in the worship house of God. But now he goes out of his way to avoid Jesus. He's always out of town for Christmas. But he's on his way to the bar at the end of the world to meet he who has become his new friend, Nabal. He's the innkeeper there. And his friends are not those who sit in the church house, but they are those who sit in the alehouse. Herod is coming. Herod is coming with the great entourage of soldiers to destroy Christmas. As if that were possible. Some of Herod's friends are teachers of the law. What he cannot do blatantly by force, he will have his friends, the lawyers, try to do subtly through the legal system. The devil is coming this Christmas. That's no surprise. After all, he owns an inn in the town. He has been going to and fro on the earth, but he's coming back to check on things at Christmas. As he slithers along, he snatches away what was sown by the rightful owner of the town of Christmas. So much as he can. And plants other things along the way. Seeds of stress. Seeds of bitterness. Seeds of anger. Seeds of things to do. The more of those he can plant, the better. That way, by the time people get to the town of Christmas, they won't even remember the name of the place or why they came. Suddenly, I'm aware that I'm alone by the gate of Christmas, and I see you coming. Your arrival is timed for a particular day, December 25th. What are you going there to see? Who will be your companions? Will you come with angels, praising and glorifying God for who He is? Will you come with shepherds, bubbling over with the message of hope? Will you come with wise men? Because you've been spending much time in prayer and you've had your nose in the Bible because you haven't been too busy to do that. Will you come with Demas to visit Nabal, the fool, who celebrates trees and owls with a great deal of shopping and much wine? Will you come with Herod and his entourage who are here to destroy Christmas? Wishing people happy holidays. Will you come with the devil and his minions who are indulging themselves by engaging in sins and collecting more stuff that they don't need? I hope that the first three, the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men, will be your companions. But there is one companion who can be in all places at once. Though he is at the town of Christmas waiting for you, he's omnipresent. And you really ought to have him as a companion above all the others. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who loves at all times. A friend who says, "Abide in me, and I in you. If you do not meet Him at Christmas, you've missed the point of coming. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the appointed day where we can truly focus upon the reason for this day and season which we celebrate. Lord God, when we come to Christmas over the next 5 days, may it be different for us this year if it's never been quite right. May our focus, morning, noon, and night, be upon the Christ for whom the day is named. Lord, if there are any in my hearing this morning, may this Christmas be the season that true celebration begins by the acceptance in faith of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down 2,000 years ago, humble as a babe, who lived to die and rose again, that we might celebrate a living hope this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of peace.